Blog Talk Gentlemen. Radio.
Kicking this off.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I never get the whole thing. Oh, man. You gotta make that audio louder for this part, JT. Here we go.
My bad.
No, it's all good. We love it. America. Talking sports with the 12th man. You are officially kicking off on this Thursday. April the 7th, this month is flying by. Rob, we're not too far away. JQ, we're not too far away from NFL draft. We're excited. Man, let's kick this off as always. I'm just hoping that my teammates, JQ and Rob, aren't like secretly taping me or anything like that, man. So,
hey, watch out, man.
I'm just making sure that you're not videotaping.
Watch out.
Welcome to the talk. This is for the 12, man. I'm your host, Andre. Not to be, that was a small shot, but I got to check in with my co-host. Just start out with JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man. Yeah. You still taking shots a week later, man. Your homeboy. Oh, I'm good, man. My girls are in Orlando for spring break, and I had to work, so I'm home alone like Macaulay Culkin. So, you know, I'm good. I'm enjoying the peace and quiet.
You just don't get in trouble, man. That's what it's all about, sir.
No, bro.
Yeah, behave yourself. She might be listening.
No, I'm good. I'm chilling.
Look at that. And now, so since JQ's by himself, we got a lot of things to talk about. So let's kick it with Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. I tell you what, NFL came out the preseason schedule today, and, like a kid in a candy store for preseason football. Can't believe it.
It's right around the corner, gentlemen. So let's get this party started. We got a lot of things to discuss, as we always do. Want to throw out some numbers if you ever want to call into the show. First and foremost, to call in, talk to your boys. The number is 424-243-9519. That's the number for that. We're also on Twitter. If you go to number, if you actually type in at the number 12, THMAN Sports, you will find us in that capacity. And last but not least, we're also on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12manSports, or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, let's kick this off. We got a lot of things to talk about. Before we talk about the preseason, I would love to kind of get your thoughts and apologies to Rob, since I know he's a huge North Carolina fan, and, you know, the Michael Jordan crying meme is everywhere. But that was a great championship game. I will say that. I will also say that it could have happened. Either team could have pulled it off. It just happened that Villanova got the last shot. So nothing to be discouraged about if you're a North Carolina fan. Like I said, that was a great shot by your boy. Oh my gosh, Paige, like he hit that last three-pointer. That was just amazing too. So I thought it was setting up for an overtime. But gentlemen, I don't know if you want to kind of recap that really quickly. I'll start with you. JQ will let Rob kind of have hold serve a little bit later on. But any thoughts about that particular game, sir?
Yeah, man. I mean, people are jumping to conclusions. I know it's the latest one we've seen. Everybody calls it the best championship game. It was one of the better championship games. I'm not quite sure if I'll put it as the best one yet. But a fantastic showing, like you said, by both teams. And, you know, me being one of them Jenkins boys, watching another Jenkins boy, even though I was rooting for North Carolina,
man.
Chris Jenkins hit that shot. I mean, That was just an amazing shot. I got to give him credit, you know. It's so much that you could talk about it, but trying to keep it, you know, down to a minute piece for it. It was just a fantastic game, go back and forth. North Carolina in the first half, Villanova coming back and taking a 10-point lead, and then them getting a little tight, and North Carolina making a game of it. And like you said, Marcus Page with the double clutch three-pointer, and then Chris Jenkins with the three to win it at the end. I know the NCAA was happy because that was just a fantastic championship game. You can't really ask for too much more.
Yeah. Rob Ford, on you, sir.
Well, you know, the history of the NCAA tournament, you've always had great buzzer beaters, but particularly they will always be in the first couple of rounds in the NCAA tournament. You haven't really seen this take place in a championship game. If I could recall, I think probably the last one that I can remember in the championship setting was probably Syracuse and Memphis with the Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony battle, if I can remember. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was Syracuse-Kansas, not Memphis. That was Syracuse-Kansas, actually, mm-hmm. right here in New Orleans. And that's about the last time we've come close to a buzzer beater. And to have two down the stretch at the end of the game like that was, even though my team lost, was still a flat-out phenomenal NCAA championship game. And congratulations to Villanova on pulling that out. Obviously, as a team, that was Philadelphia tough. And obviously, I think the two best teams were definitely in the championship game. They proved it throughout the tournament. Both of them had several blowout victories in the tournament as well. But that was just interesting to see, having those buzzer beaters in a championship setting. And, you know, like I said earlier, most of your buzzer beaters are always in those first couple of rounds in the NCAA tournament.
Good calls. I know a couple times we've discussed it over the show. We talked about some of our favorite games. We don't have to go down that route. Just like I said, just kind of echoing what you said, Rob, there's been a lot of great games, and probably that was a very evenly matched championship game. So just a great game all around. I just had to throw that in there really quickly, guys. Thank you for letting me indulge in that for sure. Jay Wright, definitely stay at Villanova. Don't come out pro just yet, sir. That's my little advice for you, too. So I know you're kind of riding that high there. So anyway.
Unless you want to come coach my Pelicans, he will take you.
Uh-oh. You got one job request already out the mark here. So I think Mike D'Antoni is waiting for you, Rob.
One
so.
Year.
What happened?
This guy's 13 losing seasons out of 15 seasons as a head coach. You tell me if you want him as your head coach.
Hey, where's the Les Miles, dog? Where's the Les Miles?
You're going to pull that sound bite, right? You happy with 9-3 seasons? You keep Les Miles. You want to win national championships? You hire somebody else.
You want your producer Dan Snow in your videos? Sorry, my bad.
Oh, man. You can't make this stuff up, America. This is what we do. All right, let's kick this off here. I've waited long enough. Let's talk about apparently Rob is really excited about this topic, JQ, about some top NFL preseason games that you want to watch besides our own team. I kind of want to watch my team. But, Rob, I'm going to let you indulge and go ahead and knock this off, sir. So go ahead, sir.
Well, the obvious answer, we all want to watch our own teams, and definitely I'm going to want to watch my own teams more than any of the games I'm going to talk about. But if there's any other games that have some kind of intriguing interest in the preseason, if you will, first off, the Hall of Fame game. That's obviously the first preseason game. It's the first taste of football after 6-7 months of not having football. And because it's Green Bay against the Colts, and it's the game that represents Brett Favre going into the Hall of Fame as well. So if you're a Brett Favre hater, you're probably not going to watch that game because this is going to be about 1,000 mentions of the name of Brett Favre in that game and how great he was at throwing in the triple coverage. And so that's obviously it's the first game. Then the first full weekend of preseason games, the Cowboys at the Los Angeles Rams. First game in Los Angeles in about 20 years. So obviously that's going to have some intriguing matchup there playing in Los Angeles. First time we have an NFL game there in 20 years. Also the first weekend, Cleveland at Green Bay. I'm interested to see how RG3 looks. I know it's preseason. I'd like to see how he's coming along with possibly revitalizing his career. Denver at Chicago, number one. Who's going to be the quarterback for Denver? And it's kind of like a John Fox reunion in that game, but more so like to see, you know, who's Denver coming out there? How's the quarterback situation looking, you know, coming off the Super Bowl victory? And last but not least, Houston at San Francisco. Brock Osweiler, how is he looking as a starting QB for the Houston Texans and the 49ers? Who is going to be the QB for the 49ers? So that's just some intriguing things you would like to see, and maybe we'll start to get a few answers by that first weekend of the preseason.
Gotcha. I am going to kick it to JQ and his thoughts, too. But I do have to say a lot of those games, Rob, is going to be contingent upon what happens in the draft for sure. So if there are some moves, and like we talked about, yeah, that's going to really kind of pique my interest as far as, you know, what happens, like you said, the Cleveland game, who's going to happen with that. I know you kind of mentioned that as well. So that's what's going to determine what games I'm going to want to watch as well. But, JQ, your thoughts about that, sir?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot because outside of the Bengals to see what they're doing, I, you know, until the pre is out in front of the season, I'm really not too concerned. But there was one when I was looking at it that, and we probably get a good glimpse of it, is the Patriots at the Panthers in week three. And week three is normally the time when you get a good 2 to 3 quarters out of the starters. So this might be the closest that we'll get to, you know, a regular season matchup. Of course, you're going to see some scrubs in the fourth quarter. But, you know, that was almost the Super Bowl. So I'm interested to see, you know, with the Patriots and how the Panthers get over the hangover if, you know, Cam is done smoking blunts in the club and he's still back coming back, you know, to play football. So that was one that stuck out, that really stood out to me outside of the ones that Rob mentioned. I kind of do want to see the Packers and the Colts because of the teams and, you know, it's the first one. But, you know, we're only going to probably get a series or two out of the starters. So those week one, week two games are hard to really get excited about. The week three, though, with the Patriots and the Panthers, I actually would like to see.
Gotcha. Good call, gentlemen. Like I said, I think we're all in agreement about that as far as all about your team. The draft is going to determine unless there's a particular player that you just want to see. That's definitely going to determine what happens with that, too. So we'll keep an eye on that. It may change as the draft comes along, but I know we're going to be starting for football, so it's right around that time, so we're going to want to watch anything. So it will be great to see how that plays out for sure. All right, there's a quick report regarding the Broncos, who have been making news on the quarterbacking front, and possibly the head coach, Gary Kubiak, as a former Texas A&M Aggie, reached out to another Aggie, Johnny Manziel, and some possibilities there where there may be smoke and there's fire. So I guess I'm going to kick it off with you, JQ. Your thoughts about this? Is this a good move? Is this just like kind of like hearsay? Are they trying to make Colin Kaepernick jealous? What's your thoughts about this particular report about the Broncos here?
I flabbergasted. That's the best word as to why this dude keeps getting these mentions about people trying to pick him up. This dude might mess around and get suspended for the whole year for the foolishness he has happening, for one. And if John Elway didn't want Tim Tebow to be his quarterback, why would he want Johnny Manziel to be his quarterback? I can't see that happening. I think it's just some A&M love that, hey, you know, you're all right, bro, you know, Aggie love, but, you know, we'll think about you, but you got to get right first. But I can't see John Elway shouting out on Johnny Manziel. I will be floored if that happens. I could see them just riding Sanchez for a year and drafting the quarterback and then changing over after this year.
Robert Ford, your thoughts, sir?
Well, I kind of just about feel the same way JQ feels on this one. Obviously, Denver wanted to see where he is, and trust me, Denver will not sign Johnny Manziel until they're 100% sure, you know, he's clean going forward. He's kind of reshaped himself, and I think we're at least a year away before anybody touching Johnny Manziel. I think it's going to take a while before a team feels 100% confident that he can even, you know, stay away from the off the field trouble. And obviously, Manziel has some mobility. Gary Kubiak loves to run that bootleg offense with the quarterback. And so, if Manziel is going to have any chance in the NFL, it's probably be in the system that would utilize those skills. I still don't think he's an NFL quarterback. Just like JQ mentioned, I never thought Tebow was the NFL quarterback. So I would be shocked if this ever takes place. I think the Broncos would definitely draft a quarterback, whether they get Kaepernick or not in this trade. I don't know what round. I don't foresee them drafting a quarterback in the first round, maybe second, third round at the earliest for them taking a quarterback in this draft.
Cardale. Hey, man, that's a good fit in that thin air. That dude can swing that ball, you know, with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. That's not a bad
could
fit
be.
As a project.
Could
not
be.
A bad fit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you're looking at Cardale, you're looking at about the third round after early is maybe fourth.
Yeah, I was going off your third round.
Man, that would be amazing if they pull it off and then he turns out to be like a Russell Wilson third-round quarterback. Just kind of kills it, man. So we'll see how that plays. That's an interesting draft. I know we'll talk about drafts, though, too, man, but that's one of the guys I'm keeping my eye on for sure. I would love to see, like we talked about, what team he ends up if he gets some playing time. That would be a fun guy to actually watch, too, as well. I'm sure JQ probably feels the same way as well, whatever team he ends up to as well. What was I going to say about this? Thank you guys for mentioning my quarterback two times. I didn't have to say the name. Thank you for talking about Tebow. I mean, you know, that just, you know, I didn't have to say anything, man. So it just kind of shows you what you guys are. What?
For our first time listeners tonight, our fellow co-host Andre, he has a man crush on Tim Tebow. And,
I just tried to figure out ways to get his name in there, man. It just cracks me up, man. So it's just one of those things, man. So, you know.
JQ, okay, so
I'm
paying.
it was relevant. I had to. I'm sorry.
So we're on the same page, guys, in that we think that somehow the Broncos are going to draft a quarterback somewhere in this particular draft. But word on the street is that now we're not quite sure what's happening with Colin Kaepernick. I mean, 1 minute, you know, we're talking about he's going to the Broncos, and now apparently there's some hang up as far as, you know, the draft pick and then the contract. You know, they're talking about working things out. So now it seems like 49ers are going to keep him. I mean, I don't know what's up now. I actually called my father-in-law, who's a big 49er fan, and he was telling me the same thing. He's just like,
sorry,
I don't care what they do. A lot of love for dad. He just hopes, guys, honestly, that the 49ers don't skip over Jared Goff. He thinks he's like the second coming of, you know, what happened whenever the 49ers passed on Aaron Rodgers. He just thinks that the 49ers should do whatever they can to draft Goff because, you know, he's in the backyard, but. That's his thoughts right now. So he's not even thinking about Colin Kaepernick. But apparently teammates saying he's not a distraction just yet. I just think this is kind of just talk. I think it's a huge distraction. But, Rob, what are your thoughts about this, sir?
Yeah, just to give your father-in-law a little hope, I actually have Jared Goff going to the 49ers at number 7 in my latest mock draft. So we'll see if that actually takes place. But I can't see Kaepernick staying with the 49ers, basically with all of these rumors. I think this deal gets done at some point, and there's still a lot of time left, even before the draft, but even this could even take place after the draft. I cannot see, with all the distractions, all the rumors, I do not see him returning to the 49ers. I say this deal will get done at some point, and he will be a Bronco. By the time we go into training camp this summer. So I don't think they're going to go into – I don't think the 49ers want him in that camp with the distractions going to be surrounding. Once you get started, though, once you have these kind of trade discussions, you can't bring the guy back. It's going to be a huge distraction.
Look at all these rumors, JQ, trying to meet every day.
Don't hit it with the Club Nouveau. Wow, we answer to Adele. All right, I like it. You know what? I'm going to go on the opposite side of that, and I don't think it's a distraction because he's not going to be the starter anyway. I think Blaine Gabbert beats him out again, or they draft Jared Goff, and at some point he's going to take over for Blaine Gabbert. So the level of distraction for somebody you really don't feel is going to be a starting quarterback probably anyway is not really there. I think they only kept him so they could get something back for him potentially and not have to just say we made a mistake and release him before that April 1st deadline, that, you know, where his $11 million was due. And can I just say to Colin Kaepernick, bro, what are you doing? You can't come out and say you want to trade and then say, okay, the defending Super Bowl champs want me, but they don't want me at a salary that everybody around the league knows that I am not worth. And to say, you know, if you feel that confident in your ability, I would say you take the cut, and then you renegotiate after that, or you ramp your market value back up and make them deal you again. But nobody's coming to get you for $11 million, bro, unless the San Francisco eats that money, and they're not going to do that because it's going to give them, I think, like $14 million dead cap space hit this year if they do that. It makes no sense for San Francisco to do that. That's why Denver is not blinking, because he has nowhere to go. New York don't want him. Brandon Marshall don't want him. What is his other options? He doesn't have any other options at this point. So you either take the pay cut or you go hold a clipboard in San Francisco because you're not going to be the starter. So that's why I don't think it's really necessarily a distraction, because he's not going to be the starter.
Yeah, I don't think he has the RG3 personality where I think RG3, you know, took the role and he accepted it and he was not a distraction in Washington. I just don't see Kaepernick with that same kind of personality. I still think he'll be a huge distraction if he's still in that locker room going forward.
They know he can't win, man. They just saying whatever. You just go sit in your cubicle and be cool. You know, I just don't think it's really going to matter. I really don't. I think they saw the way he soaked and what he did last year, and then going without, you know, the 49ers doctors and getting his own personnel to get his surgeries and whatnot. And that just is the rip he has with the organization. But I think his teammates see the writing on the wall that I agree with you, Jared Goff is going to come in there. And maybe calling, I mean, Gabbert is a bridge to Goff for a year or half a year. But Kaepernick's not really in that equation. If you're not really in the equation, I don't really think it matters to them. It's like, you know, he's not affecting our day-to-day preparation. I'm not answering no questions about him, and it's just going to be that. That's just me, because I don't think he is a threat to start. If he was a starter and was doing this, it's a distraction. But somebody that you know is second at best and maybe third if they get golf, I don't think it's really going to matter.
Wow. We got about nine and a half minutes here, guys. I'm going to go and just kind of say this really quickly in that I was actually watching the it was on the NFL Network. They were doing a replay in the Super Bowl whenever it was the Ravens and the 49ers. Sorry, Rob, that was definitely the game where the power went out in New Orleans. But in spite of all that, I had to get that shot. In spite of all that, you know, Colin actually looked pretty good, guys. And I was watching that game, and I'm like, man, he actually performed pretty well under Harbaugh. And it just kind of shows you, I think he had the confidence. And like you said, I think both you guys hit on the head in that right now, currently the way that it's set up with the 49ers, he's not in that same situation. So there may be a glimmer of hope under Chip Kelly, but we know Chip Kelly is kind of crazy. So that's a whole other conversation. And, you know, right now, maybe it's probably best for both, you know, both sides kind of like start fresh. But I do still think he is talented. He just probably needs a new space to kind of get his confidence up. Because he did play pretty well, and obviously I think he's got something, but you know, maybe not in the situation for sure, guys. But that's just kind of me. Whenever I was kind of like, I happened to watch that game, and I was like, man, that was kind of like a just kind of taking a little time warp there to see how good he played.
Yeah.
So I don't know, just one of those interesting scenarios.
But that's the thing, right? If $7 million is still $7 million, and $11 million in California is probably close to what $7 million is in Colorado, given the differences in the state taxes between the two states. And why would you not want to go learn under Elway? So that's why I'm looking at him like, man, you're killing yourself right now.
Nobody's going to take a pay cut, though. I mean, I don't care
it's
how.
$7 million.
Nobody's going to take a pay cut. I'm just telling you, man.
Well, he still has all the leverage. He does. So Kaepernick has all the leverage in this negotiation here, because even if the 49ers decide to cut him, they'll still owe him $14 million next year. So he has all the leverage in this deal.
Yeah, he's going to be leveraging that clipboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But when it comes to money, he's got all the leverage.
Yeah, but $14 million in California is like $9 million, really, everywhere mm-hmm. else. Also, California is going to kill you. So, I mean, yeah, no, you got to factor that in.
Well, I agree with you. I agree. If he wants to have any chance of revitalizing his career, I say go to Denver, even if you have to take somewhat of a cut. I totally agree with you. But he still has all the leverage in this deal.
True. Sorry, Dre. I'm sorry. My bad.
No, it's all good. No, just carry on your thought, man. I'm just happy you were able to get that in there, man. So that's what it's all about. All right, we're moving on. We got about 6 minutes here. We're getting close to our OT here. But before we move on, we got to talk about Joe Robbie. No, pro player. No, Dolphins. No, Landshark. No, Sun Life. The Dolphins, they didn't have, like, what, five or six, seven different name changes here. Apparently, they can't decide on one. Rob, I'm going to kick this to you, man. What does this mean? This is an interesting point that you brought up here in our topic here.
Well, if you talk to anybody in the local Miami area, they still refer to it as Joe Robbie Stadium, even with all the name changes over the last years or so. So it's going to always be Joe Robbie Stadium to them, regardless of the name changes. But they're giving it a new simple name. They're calling it New Miami Stadium. That's it.
Wow. Stop.
So, obviously, their stadium is pretty old, but it's going through some major renovations. Miami, of course, a lot of people love going to Super Bowls there. Matter of fact, when my beloved Saints went to the Super Bowl, my beautiful wife and I, we were down there at the game in Miami,
good
at Joe Robbie Stadium,
job.
Well, whatever the name of the stadium is. But I think at that point it was Sun Player Stadium or something like that. But so it was a obviously the fans like going to Miami, so they're remodeling that stadium to try to get back into hosting Super Bowls here at some point. But that's the new name, New Miami Stadium.
Wow. I'm at a loss for that one. That, you know, they just said cut that check. If you want to have your name on my stadium, you cut me a check, it's yours. I don't really know what's going on with Miami. they're a dumpster fire right now. They just have a lot going on. I don't think, you know, Tannehill is really the answer. We all know what happened with Philbin. It's just a microcosm of what's happened with the Dolphins since Marino has retired. And all I can say to that is, wow. But they're going to get Super Bowls. It can be just average. They're going to be Super Bowls because, like you said, people want to go to Miami just to go to Miami. So, but wow, I didn't realize it was 7 times in 29 years. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, Taxpayer Stadium was going to be right around the corner too, guys. So we'll keep an eye on that too.
We the Poland Weedy Stadium.
Yeah, I knew you were going to that.
That's what I was waiting for too. I do not know about that. We should put a petition in there as far as the name. You know, who's going to name the stadium, man? So anyway, they don't really care. But like you said, I still refer to it. I like you, Robbie. You know, it's like Joe Robbie. That's what we've always wanted to ask.
We should put our name in there. Talking with the Sports 12 Man Stadium.
anything is possible if we have a big enough check. They'll name anything you want, like JQ said.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got about 4 minutes here. I still want to kind of talk about this last topic before we get into the OT. I do want to talk about, for some reason, we still, if you're a Bronco fan, we're showing you a lot of love. Shout out to my barber, Alex, because he loves the Broncos. And they've reached out to Tyrod Taylor as well, to the Bills. So, Rob, what is this about? Is this just like an inquiry, or you think it's serious, or where there's smoke, there's fire? So go ahead about that, sir.
Well, if I was the Bills, I would have hung up on whoever called from the Broncos for even making this call. But this is the legitimate phone call. The Broncos did call the Bills and inquire to see if they would be interested in making a deal with Tyrod Taylor. But Tyrod Taylor quietly had a very good season with the Bills last season. His productivity was very good. He ran the ball well. I think he only threw 5 or 6 INTs. He had 20 touchdowns, threw for over 3,000 yards. He was very efficient with the football as well. I think he was very efficient as a quarterback. So if I'm the Buffalo Bills, I'm hanging up on the Broncos' face with that phone call, unless you're offering possibly 2 first-round picks, and that still will be hard for me to consider that. And I think once you have a quarterback, you have to stick with them. And I think for the Buffalo Bills, you have to think that they may have found the quarterback. And you'd like to see Tyrod Taylor put a couple of good seasons together, so we'll see what he's made of this coming season to see if we can respond after having a pretty productive season. But I think, once again, if you're the Buffalo Bills, you hang up on the Denver Broncos with that phone call.
JQ.
And see, I'm on the other side of that, because if you look at what the Bills are saying, they won't give Tyrod an extension, saying they, you know, they want to wait and see, and the jury is still out whether or not he's a franchise quarterback. So if you feel that way about him, but I agree with you, Rob, that I think he's shown enough to where you could at least give him a contract extension for a couple of years and buy yourself some more time. But they aren't even really doing that. So to me, they really are spitting in his face saying, yeah, you did all these little nice things, but we still aren't sold on you yet. So if I'm the Broncos, I'm going to keep calling, because at some point Tyrod is going to get mad. His agent is going to get mad, like, this is BS. And you saw his agent get on there and say they didn't make the playoffs because of the defense and not because of Tyrod. So if I'm the Broncos, I'm going to keep calling, because I think that situation is going to come to an impasse sooner rather than later. They're either going to have to give him the money, or they're going to have to trade him, because you can't have your starting quarterback not feel wanted after he put the year up that he did, given where the Bills quarterback situation were, considering they reached for E.J. Emmanuel a couple of drafts ago. So I can't hang up on them unless you're ready to pay him the money. But if you're not ready to pay him the money, you have to listen to those calls, right?
Well, I think Buffalo is actually playing this pretty smart. I would want to see him put together another really good season before I'm giving him some big bucks. And so I actually think Buffalo is playing this pretty smart. And I don't think you want to break the bank. And he's still under contract. He's not going to hold out and lose out on that money. So I think in this particular situation, the Buffalo Bills still have the leverage. I think you wait and see how he responds this coming season.
I agree.
Rob,
with that.
For you got about 50. Hold on. We got 50 seconds. We got 50 seconds. Hold on. Do the OT portion, Rob. You got 40-something seconds, and we'll talk about this more. Go ahead, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you all have enjoyed the show this evening. We still got more football, as JQ still has some comments on the Buffalo Bills in this situation. So definitely tune into this OT portion on tomorrow. Click on the same link. All our Buffalo Bills fans and Broncos fans, you don't want to miss out what JQ has to say on this particular topic. And we also have some NBA talk, maybe some NFL draft talk. We'll see what we get into in the OT portion. You don't want to miss it. Click on the same link to get these comments on tomorrow. Next week, we're going to be on Monday night, people, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. For our friends in Germany, that's going to be Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. Make sure you set your alarms. Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You don't want to miss the show on next week. Good night, people.
I see you, San Diego. I booked my ticket. I see you for the All-Star Game in July.
Man, I got to tell you, Thanks, Rob, for taking, 50 seconds to talk about that, man. I was waiting patiently for you to kind of, like, talk about that. It's all good, man. Anyway. JQ got man. I had to.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't disagree with what he's saying about holding off, but I think there's a way you could do the extension right where it's not 8 years or 6 years, where it's 3 or 4 years and you buy yourself more time. The problem I have with what the Bills are doing is the rhetoric that they're coming out with we're not sold on him, and, the jury's still out on him. It's not a, we want to just give ourselves a little bit more time. He had a great year. Let's see if he can do it again. It's not that level of conversation they're having about him. It's the, we don't know, so we'll see. That kind of talk, they're just discounting what he did last year like it didn't happen. It's the way they did it. They could spin it a different way to, we're really excited about Tyrod. Let's just let it play out, and then we'll talk about it. They're more just like, he might be all right, but we don't really know yet. And it's like, if you want that guy to be the leader of your team and your quarterback, I just don't think that's the way you need to talk about him, especially in multiple occasions to the press. There's a way to do it and negotiate, and I just think they're doing it the wrong side of it. And that's probably why you saw the Broncos reach out like, if they aren't sold on him, we've seen him play. We'll give him a spin, so you got to reach out to him if they're giving that kind of rhetoric, coming from the front office and the GM. He said that kind of talk on more than one occasion. I just don't really think they're really all in on Tyrod like we think they should be, and I think you're right in terms of a leverage point of he's still got another year under his contract, but, there's a way you talk about your potential franchise quarterback, and the way they've been talking about him has really been a slap in the face to me, and I'm sure him and his agent have taken it the same way.
And I would agree with that, too. That's definitely something they should not be displaying or speaking about on a public basis. You should be instilling confidence in your starting quarterback.
Right.
And so, I would definitely agree with that. They should not be displaying that on a public basis.
I was going to tell you guys, too, just to let you guys know, and I'm in 100% agreement with JQ about that. I mean, you guys are the same thing, too. Tyrod Taylor, I think he had like a 99.4 QB rating, which was the second best in franchise history in 2015. So you talk about just an amazing stat line for him. So, right now, I think if you're the Broncos, it was kind of like, hey, what's going on with that? And you got to give them credit for at least making that phone call. I don't think it may not necessarily be a slap in the face, but it was like kind of an inquiry, like, hey, so what are you guys thinking about this? And then if they felt like the Bills were kind of like waffling, maybe they were just kind of seeing what was happening. But, at this juncture, it's kind of like, somebody's looking at my girl, and you may be like, I'm sick of her. Then somebody else is going to, all of a sudden you're like, hey, okay, well, she is kind of attractive, So, that may be a situation where you better, like, shape up because somebody may steal your girl, That's kind of how I see that, But, you keep your eye on that, like I said, in that, Tyrod is doing his thing, right now. I don't think the Jets – excuse me, I don't know why I'm thinking about them. I don't think that the Bills have a problem with the quarterback position because they've had problems before. I don't think they saw that. Obviously, Jim Kelly's of the world and whatnot. They finally got a good quarterback, surround Tyrod, make him grow, keep adding the pieces, and get that defense improved. And Rex, everyone will kind of love you again, too. So that's kind of my 2 cents on that, guys. So I don't know if you want to add anything else to that. Gentlemen, you certainly can, but that's my little 5 cents
on
that.
Just one more small thing about that. But they're also playing with fire, right? Because if you don't extend him now and he has another good season and you're saying, he wasn't worth 13 or 12 that you might be able to get him to take now, if he has another good season, you're going to be in that same position that Washington is with Cousins where, we can't afford to lose him. Now you have to franchise him. You got to give him $19 million. So you need to make sure you do the right thing if you're the Bills because if he balls out again and you can't come to the things, you let him go for nothing, and then do people try to drive the price up on you? You have to franchise him and you have to spend $20 million in your cap space. So they're playing a dangerous game right now, I think, with Tyrod.
Rob's quiet. Anything else, Rob? You good?
Oh, I'm nothing else to say.
We talked about 20 minutes about that, feels like, but it's all good. Rob is really and JQ really. No, it's all good. Hey, we love it, man. Rob, you want to do the fantasy shout-outs right now before we talk about some NBA here really quickly? You want to do that real quick?
Yeah, really quickly. Obviously, this fantasy shout-out pains me a little bit. I lost in the championship in the fantasy basketball here. But congratulations to Ronald right here in New Orleans, Saints Pelicans 23. He's actually won our fantasy basketball league 2 years in a row. So he's actually repeated. And so congrats to him if he's listening. And I'll also send him a personal congratulations message in winning the championship week. I think he beat me 5-2, five categories over two. We tied in one. So congratulations to him repeating in our fantasy basketball. So coming up soon, obviously this fall, we'll be getting you ready for fantasy football again. So we got a couple of months break, and we'll have some fun with fantasy football going into the fall this year.
Sorry about that, Rob.
Yeah,
hey,
no,
it's all good. You know, you got to pick the pieces up, bounce back, compete hard again next year.
There you go.
I'm just happy that, you know, I'm just happy that you're okay, man, because it's been a rough weekend for even North Carolina. That, you know.
Oh, man. Tuesday, lost two championships in 1 week.
Oh, man, it's
that's
all
tough.
Good. All right, gentlemen, let's kind of talk about this, the Warriors and the Spurs, and apparently we're in that collision course once again, and I think it's kind of a shame that that they're in different they're in the same division here, but once again, it appears like there's going to be an interesting recap here in that if you heard you thought that the Spurs are going to rest a couple of players, and then Tony Parker came out and said, nah, we ain't resting. So apparently they are well aware of what's happening with the Warriors, and I love the competitiveness about this, guy. So I'm going to start with you, JQ. Are they kind of too good to be true here, or what's your thoughts about the Warriors and the Spurs here, and as we get ready to set up for the playoffs here?
Yeah, I mean, we're being treated to a fantastic run in that Western Conference, and the Spurs, I still think, are somehow able to fly under the radar because of the whole chase for 73. But I think the Spurs looked at it after the Warriors lost to the Timberwolves the other night, which is just ridiculous, in Oracle Arena, that if they beat them these last two games and, you know, they went out and somehow Memphis can rise up against the Warriors, they can still get that one spot. So there's really not an advantage to resting their players when they still are, I think, 3.5 back with 4 to go or something like that. So they have a chance to get there. I mean, it's a slim chance, but they still have one. So I think it's important to at least say, you know, the two seed is nice, but now that we're not six games out with 4 to go, you know, we can try to get this one spot. So I understand it. But, yeah, they are, you know, they're treating us to a fabulous season of basketball, both of them. And somehow the Spurs keep just flying under the radar, yet they're still sitting there with, like, 68 wins or something crazy. So, and I'm actually watching the game. The Warriors are on a little bit of a run right now because Aldridge, I believe he dislocated his finger, actually, but he's back in the game. So that's an interesting wrinkle to it right over these next couple of games because they play – the Spurs, the Grizzlies, the Spurs, and the Grizzlies. So will he be right when it comes back to it the rest of this game when they see them again in another couple of games? But, yeah, fantastic run going in the Western Conference.
Rob Ford.
Well, going back to your point, Andre, definitely the two best teams in the NBA are in the same conference. So the best we're going to get out of these two teams is the Western Conference Finals. And I still think this is a hard matchup for the Spurs, though. If you look at the Warriors this season, most of their losses, except for the one loss that they've had to the Spurs, have been against just teams that don't even look like they're playoff teams. They seem to get up for big games. And you see the Utah Jazz have played them tough. I mean, you saw them lose to the Timberwolves. You saw them lose to the Bucks this season. You saw them lose to the Pistons, just to name a few. But for whatever reason, when it's a big game, this team seems to turn up their game. In big game situations. They lost at San Antonio. San Antonio has not lost at home this season. So I think, well, you see the Warriors have a double-digit lead right now in this game. So I could expect Golden State to win this one. But I'm real curious to see how Golden State plays at San Antonio this weekend to see if San Antonio can withstand and have a perfect season at home this season. Ooh. But there's no team that have ever done it in the NBA, so that's going to be real interesting to see if the Spurs are going to go undefeated. And as JQ mentioned, if the Spurs can somehow get this one seed with the way they play at home, that to me will be the only way they'll have a chance at beating the Warriors. I just don't think they can play the up-and-down game with the Warriors with Duncan in the lineup. I think you have to go with Aldridge at center and play a bunch of small guys and if they have any chance at beating the Warriors in a seven-game series.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Fair enough. No, I mean, like I said, I know we've already touched about that as far as these are definitely the best teams right now. And, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You got to think the rich got richer in the fact that the Spurs did get Aldridge. I know you mentioned that. So they've just been on an amazing streak, too. So they've been doing their thing quietly under the radar, and that's probably how they enjoy it, too, guys. So, you know, obviously, right now, we got to like the way the Warriors are playing. There's a lot of confidence with that squad. But, it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And I do like, once again, the competitiveness of the Spurs, talking about we're not resting. We want to go after them. They want to get prepared. I think they want to just kind of go into the playoffs kind of hot, just kind of keep it going here, just keep the momentum rolling too. So if they kind of go in there and think they can kind of handle business, maybe it's kind of a blow to the Warriors, and, they'll have that psychological advantage. Back in the old days, whenever they would, I remember the Pistons and the Celtics played mind games with the teams, man. So that's kind of what it reminds me of too, is kind of going there, kind of like, see if they can beat them up or something like that. But that's just me. Speaking of that, gentlemen, we've got
– I'm a Spurs fan too, so I would like to see the Spurs, go all the way to the championship series. I'm a Spurs fan, and but as I just mentioned, I would be shocked if they could find a way to beat them.
I was waiting for JQ to jump in there. All right, let's talk about this really quick.
Sorry about that.
Like I said, we got 4 minutes. No, it's all good. We got 4 minutes, so I'm going to leave it open here. So we got to talk about Kevin Durant's future right now. And Rob, what are your thoughts about this? Is there something that you're hearing on the streets about Kevin Durant? Is he going to kind of make the rich richer with the Warriors or what?
I don't think he's going to sign with the Warriors this offseason. I think personally he's going to re-sign with OKC, a similar deal to what you see LeBron James deal with Cleveland, sign a one-year deal with an option for a second season. And plus, with the salary cap going up this summer, it's going to have a tremendous jump this summer. So he can sign a huge deal to stay in OKC. I think he's going to do like a two-year deal with a possible option out after 1 year. I think with Kevin Durant is going to wait to see. I think he's going to wait to see what Russell Westbrook is going to do next summer once he becomes a free agent. And so that's why I think he's going to re-sign with OKC. He's going to sign a two-year deal, but with the option-out clause after one, depending on what Russell Westbrook does. And I think that's what you're going to see Kevin Durant do this offseason.
100% agree. 100% agree. I think the Wizards were more in the running than people gave them credit for. With the way they cratered this year, with Bradley Beal being unreliable, with Gortat and Nate, just looking old. And, I mean, Wall has still been doing his thing. But I think they were in the run a lot more than people give him credit for. But I totally agree with Rob. With the way Washington has, cratered this year, and like you said, just trying to see what Westbrook do. I think they might try to put themselves as a package deal, honestly, at the end of next year. And we just have to see what happens.
Awesome time. Gentlemen, it's been a great time sharing the field of battle with you today. Rob, set it up for next week as we get to wrap up this edition of Talking Sports for the 12th Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we appreciate you all tuning in. I tell you, this got to be the fastest 45 minutes in sports, so we had a great time delivering this information to you all. It's fun all the time, every week. Once again, next week we're going to be on Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our good friends in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Once again, it'll be 8 p.m. on the West Coast. You don't want to miss it next week. We'll be winding down the last few days of the NBA regular season, getting you ready for the NBA playoffs. Of course, all the latest and greatest NFL news and NFL drafts, so you don't want to miss the show on Monday night. Good night, people.
Excited about the Major League Baseball opening day. I'm glad that JQ's okay. He survived tonight. JQ,
the
last
the Reds undefeated.
Yay, man. Listen, I'm going to tell
you,
this might be the only sweep we get all year. I have been wearing my Reds gear every single day. I'm wearing
man, you
it until we lose. Hey, man, I've got about 1,000 Reds jerseys, so I'm pretty good for a while. I'm pretty good for a while.
All right.
Oh, man.
We're good talking to
he
y'all,
just pushes
man.
Them
appreciate
out.
Everybody listening. Hey, yes, sir, man. I'm ridiculous about it.
So you're not one of the people that when you're winning, you got to wear the same one over and over. You don't have that kind of superstition.
No, man. That's disgusting, dog. That's disgusting. I just go put another one on.
JQ, thousand jersey, man. I love it, man. Oh, man. Yeah. Anything else you want to say, JQ, man?
No, just appreciate everybody for tuning in. We holler at you next Monday. Have a good weekend. Be safe.
Yeah. I said both of you guys.